Last week on this program, John Dean, who served as counsel to the president in the Nixon White House, said he's never seen such secrecy as he has in the Bush administration. Dean has titled his new book Worse Than Watergate. This week we sought out another viewpoint on the Bush White House. William Kristol served in the first Bush administration as chief of staff to Vice President Dan Quayle. He's now editor of the Weekly Standard and joins us in our studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
As a journalist now and a former White House insider, what's your take on the secrecy of this administration? Is John Dean right?
No. I mean, every White House likes to keep its cards close to its chest, and perhaps this White House a little more than most. But after all, have there been indictments? Have there been forced resignations? Have there been ethics breaches? Actually, I would say this White House has been pretty straightforward. They don't like to share all their thoughts, but they've complied with the law. And in fact, we saw Condi Rice testifying after admittedly some resistance in an unprecedented way before the 9/11 Commission, for example.
The examples Dean cites are familiar, the extensive classification of documents, the refusal of the vice president to release any information of his meetings of the Energy Task Force, Condoleezza Rice's reluctance to testify because of executive privilege. Does this stem from, you know, an obsession with secrecy, or are they just trying to really just control their message?
Well, I think actually there are serious separation of powers concerns, and I think the president and the vice president in particular think that certain White House privileges have been eroded too much over the years, which is a respectable point of view. It's a controversial point of view, but a respectable point of view. But look, they're having a legal case before the Supreme Court on the Energy Task Force documents. I don't believe they'll show anything interesting one way or the other. There's no secret as to what that task force produced. The Bush administration wants to drill more for oil, and environmentalists don't like it, and that's no secret, and it's a public policy debate. I think all of this is much ado about nothing, frankly. There are many people who don't like this White House's policies. And as always, when you don't like a White House policies, you don't just make the criticism on policy grounds. You pretend there's some great scandal lurking beneath the surface.
The president did, of course, hold a news conference this past week, just the 12th, I think, since he took office, and only the third in prime time. I think you said afterwards you were depressed after watching it. I'm wondering, do you still feel that way?
I'm a little cheered up because I think there was some better news from Iraq later in the week, and also I think promising developments on the Israeli-Palestinian front. I was depressed not because he held the news conference and not because I didn't actually admire his determination and resolve to stay in Iraq, which I think is the right thing to do, and I think he expressed eloquently. He does tend at these news conferences, which he doesn't like to do, to stay at such a level of generality. It's as if mm-hmm. as if someone told him you can get in trouble by mentioning specifics. Mm-hmm. And you watch it, and I say this as someone who's a supporter of the president's foreign policy, basically, and of the war in Iraq. You watch it, and you wonder a little bit, you know, does he know enough? Is he paying enough attention to really manage and run this war adequately? I in particular have been critical of Rumsfeld and the failure to send more troops to Iraq. I think the White House, therefore, needs to overrule that cabinet secretary occasionally, and all cabinet secretaries occasionally. I'm a believer in a strong presidential leadership in general. And watching the press conference got me a little depressed because I thought, gee, maybe the president is just isn't engaged enough almost to make some of the key decisions he's got to make.
Well, let me ask you, because one of the questions that came up in that news conference was why he was only testifying before the 9/11 Commission with in a joint appearance, as it were, with Vice President Cheney. What he couldn't really answer that, and I'm wondering why you think that's occurring.
Well, the true answer, I think, is that they're worried that if they testify separately, given the nature of what that commission is become, and I think they have a legitimate complaint here, it's become very much a kind of gotcha type exercise. You know, oh, you said this and that then, but now you're saying something slightly different now, which is unfortunate. I think this commission could have done serious work. Maybe it still will do serious work, but the hearings have really degenerated into a kind of let's point fingers at everyone for various failures, and there were various failures before 9/11. Anyway, I think given that, they've decided politically that they're better off not opening up, not allowing the possibility of some contradiction or opening between the president and the vice president. But they can't say that. So, of course, the president didn't really answer the question. I think it's a little ludicrous. I think this is the White House being overly concerned about the political ramifications of a slight error or of someone being able to say, see, we got you. I'd say that's the true complaint or the fair complaint about this White House. Not that there's some kind of criminal secrecy like or criminal acts like Watergate. That's ridiculous. But that they're so concerned not to give their opponents any weapons that they said they won't admit a mistake. They won't let the president and the vice president testify separately. I think if they were more relaxed, in a sense, and if the president just said, sure, I've made mistakes, every president does, but I've tried to do my best, and I think on the whole my policies have worked quite well, et cetera, I just think that tone would be ultimately be more effective. Now, they're worried that the moment he says, sure, I've made mistakes, that'll be in a John Kerry campaign
right.
commercial,
mm-hmm.
and it'll be on every headline of every newspaper and here on NPR the next day. And that's a legitimate concern, but I think they hurt themselves, I think, by being so sort of unwilling to relax a little bit and acknowledge that no one's perfect.
William Kristol is editor of the Weekly Standard. He served in the first Bush administration as chief of staff to Vice President Dan Quayle. Thanks very much.
My pleasure.